get through there. We'll get through them shortly because we've been able to track down Simon Dool, one of our favourites in the world of New Zealand cricket commentary. He's commentating the Under-19 World Cup in Dubai at the moment, but he's keen to chat to us about the cancelled New Zealand tour of Australia. So that's good business for us. So we'll get to him right now. Simon, good morning.
Daniel, Adam, how are you, boys?
We are well, mate. How are you tracking there at the Under-19 World Cup, just while we're there?
Yeah, all right, actually. Thank you. It's Trinidad. I'm in Trinidad at the moment. It's been played across, where are we? St. Kitts and Nevis, Trinidad. We were in Guyana last week, and we head to Antigua for the final week. I think the Aussies are in a game today. They're involved against Scotland as we speak, and I'm just doing the India-Ireland game in Trinidad at the moment. So it's all going well, mate. Nice to always get a little look at the up-and-coming talent, the future talent to keep an eye out for.
Who's the team to beat?
I can tell you. Well, Australia are looking good, actually. I hate saying it, but they look good, and India look very good at the moment. There's a young kid called Teague Wiley who's just brought up 100. I think he's 101 not out, as Aussie have just beaten Scotland today. He got runs in the first game that were really, really good. We gave him man of the match in Australia's first game as well, and he looked outstanding. So he's been very impressive from an Australian point of view. So maybe in a couple of years' time, one to keep an eye out for.
How many months of a year now are you away from home, Simon? Every time I turn on the TV, you're commentating somewhere around the world, and it's not usually New Zealand.
Well, if you're thinking New Zealand's home still, it's probably, well, it's not anymore, but I was last home on January the 7th last year.
Right.
So I spent the whole of last year travelling and working. And pandemic-wise, it's just been a nightmare because of what New Zealand's sort of gone through. I mean, I know you guys have gone through, all this quarantine in 14 days. Normally I would have headed home in between gigs, but when you've got a quarantine in a hotel for 14 days and you get home for 3 or 4 days, then you've got to fly back out again. It just hasn't been any point, mate. So it's been a tough old time. But having said that, there's a lot of people who got through a lot worse than I have, and I've still had a job for a long time. So a lot of people have suffered a lot more than that over the last year and a bit, haven't they? As we all know.
Yeah, exactly right. And you talk about quarantine, and it's largely the reason why New Zealand aren't going to come to Australia for this one-day series, because New Zealand would have to come over here, but then the quarantine meant that it was almost not worth it. But, I mean, in a way, Simon, the good players weren't necessarily going to be coming anyway.
No, they weren't. And that's been, that's one of the things about the schedule, I suppose, at the moment, and about this. The bubbles, the biosecure bubbles that we're all sort of getting so used to now, quarantine periods, sort of waiting in hotels for tours to start, they're having to find that they need to give certain players, or all the players at some stage, a rest. So you figure out what is, I guess, dare I say it, what is the least important.
Yep.
So you think now and you think, well, world tournaments, world test championship games, those are the most important ones that are going to get most of the focus. And the other things are, sadly, in this time, probably just going to take a bit of a back seat, which, it seemed to be the way that New Zealand cricket were looking at this short tour of Australia. But to go over there and then have to come back and do 10 days at the moment in hotel quarantine, they've reduced that from 14. At the time when New Zealand agreed to the tour, there was no quarantine. There was an open, an open bubble between New Zealand and Australia, and that's all changed again.
So do you think going forward that this is going to be a problem for New Zealand cricket, or is it just the fact that because it's a local bubble that we're sort of dealing with from an Australasian perspective, that's the only barrier that will stop them touring?
I think it's going to be a problem moving forward, and I think the government there's been no end game for New Zealand's government, and I know around the world Jacinda Ardern has a very good reputation, but in New Zealand that reputation has gone from sky high to zero very, very quickly in the last sort of six or 8 months. I know she's seen around the world as someone who has, done the right thing. And I think New Zealand were probably put up as a bit of a poster child in the early part of the pandemic. But now we're lagging behind. There is absolutely no end game. They still think they can control COVID or not let COVID in, whereas a lot of countries are now learning to deal with it and live with it, and their economies are starting to bounce back. So I think it's going to be a really tough time for New Zealand still in the next, 6, 8 months, even maybe to a year, to get people to tour there. This Women's World Cup's going to be tough. I mean, we've got our crew, a lot of our crew that are here in the Caribbean with us at the moment are struggling to even contemplate going to the Women's World Cup to do that 10 days hotel quarantine now. So it's not easy.
No, it's a nightmare for everyone involved, I would have thought. And was there anyone you were looking forward to seeing against Australia? It was Whitey said that some of the bigger names perhaps wouldn't be a part of the series, so there would have been opportunities for the next generation maybe of New Zealand talent to come through. Was there anyone that you were looking forward to seeing?
I just think when you look through what New Zealand have tried, and I mean, obviously with Ross Taylor departing, and we're almost at that point where you're looking at picking a second team or having two teams touring at certain stages. And I know Australia have done this with a T20 side somewhere and a test match side in other areas. I think there's some real talent coming through in this New Zealand ranks, but you want to be able to see these guys kick on, get to the next level, the Seiferts, the Mark Chapmans, these sort of guys who are given limited opportunities, you know, in the World Cup and the build-up to the World Cup. Those are the sort of guys you really want to see kick on. And, you know, these are the tours that I think when you know it's going to be tough in Australia. And these are the ones where you'll find out a little bit more about them, a little bit about their mettle and whether they can cope at that next level up. Because we can't always rely, you know, on the Conways and the Williamsons and the Bolts and the Southies and things to do those jobs. So it would have been a really good tour for some of those up-and-coming players and to get a bit of a gauge and an idea on how they would go at that next level. But, yeah, sadly, you know, sadly for those guys as well, because they would have certainly been looking forward to it. It's not a player's decision.
Yeah.
It's kind of been taken out of their hands by New Zealand cricket and the government. And, you know, I mean, the players would probably happily do the 10 days quarantine, but they couldn't be guaranteed a hotel spot on the way back. And they might have got stuck in Australia, and you guys might have claimed a couple like you have done in the past.
Hey, I know we haven't got a lot of time with you, Simon, because you've got to head off. It's a good call, actually, by the way. But just quickly, what cricket have New Zealand now got? Because they've just come off that test series with Bangladesh, which was a sort of a mixed result. But what's ahead for New Zealand?
South Africa are meant to be touring for the rest of the summer. And then the Netherlands are going for a short tour as well. So that's what New Zealand have got to look forward to at home. Again, it's sort of, you know, that situation where you think, well, you just hope that South Africa do go. I think February 17th
yep.
to March the 1st, that tour is supposed to be a test match in Christchurch and a test match in Wellington for South Africa, and then the Netherlands tour New Zealand late to mid to late March and play a T20 and three one-day internationals. So, you know, so that's what New Zealand have got to look forward to for the rest of the summer. But the other thing about, you know, New Zealand not touring or teams not touring New Zealand, it sort of really puts the World Test Championship and that ODI Championship and the qualification for the next World Cup, all of these things really come into play. And, you know, they're sort of, I guess, they're making a rod for their own back a little bit if they continue to miss out on these situations. And, you know, they don't get some help from the government along the way.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And the final one, just on, we've been talking about the Big Bash a bit here and whether it's succeeding or not. Now, it's very difficult to tell because of COVID and crowds, you know, not going and all that sort of thing. But for someone that does travel the world playing cricket, are we seeing too much cricket? Have we got the balance right? Or what are your thoughts on how it's all sort of playing out at the moment? More so that domestic or franchise cricket.
Yeah, look, there's a huge amount of it. I really enjoyed the Big Bash in the early couple of years. I believe I've mentioned it too much. I think it's too long now. And I think that's part of the reason. I know the pandemic's part of the reason as well. But it's also part of the reason that the players, some of the big-name international players, didn't want to go back. So I think Cricket Australia got that wrong. But I thought the tournament at the start was brilliant. Is there too much franchise cricket? Well, I almost think that that's the way that we're going to see things go. And we might just see players picking and choosing a little bit more with a beat between country and franchise, country and club, so to speak. There is going to be a saturation of T20 cricket. What that does do is it gives other players, next-tier players, an opportunity to make some money, you know, for guys that don't perhaps play at the top level. But I know, there's quite a few of my colleagues are thinking that in 5, 6, 7 years' time, we might only see 5 or 6 countries playing test cricket. You know, you're definitely going to see Australia or England playing. You'll probably see India. New Zealand I think they're probably a 70-30 chance of continuing to play test cricket. But it doesn't make anybody any money. It makes no countries money except for England except for Australia. A test tour from India makes the country money, but they prefer to play one day as in T20 International. So, you know, as a business model, if you're talking about does it make us money and is it sustainable, you'd say no. But I think world cricket still needs test cricket. And I think we all love a good test match, and we forget very quickly a one-day international result or a T20 result, but we remember for years a great test match, you know, those sorts of situations. So, look, it's a really hard one. I'd hate to see it go, but I just wonder in 5 to 10 years' time how many countries are actually going to be playing it competitively.
It's a great question. I'm with you about the test matches. Everyone remembers great ones, but no one remembers too many T20s and one days around the planet these days. Just before I let you go, just on the T20 system and the Big Bash over here, and I'm not sure the equivalent name over there in New Zealand, could it merge and become some better series for both countries?
I'd love to see it merge. I really would. I mean, look, I don't think New Zealand could throw all their domestic sides into it, but I mean, if you could find a way to have 8 and 4, yeah. You know, the 8 Australian franchises and split New Zealand into 4 franchises, I think they'd be very, very competitive, and it'd be a great tournament. Or perhaps we go down the old Champions League route and we say the top 2 teams from New Zealand's domestic and the top 3 or 4 teams from the Big Bash have a 2-week tournament, and we find out Australasian champions or something along those lines. There might be a bit of fun and a bit of money in that. But again, boys, we've got to find a window for it. Where do we fit it in?
That's true. Well, if we bring back the Big Bash, I reckon we get 12 teams in. I'm with you. 8 and 4, get 12 teams in, play 11 games, and there's your summer.
Yeah.
And have your winners from there. That could
Absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely. That would be awesome.
Ma'am, bam. Thank you, ma'am. Always a pleasure chatting to you, Simon. Good luck for the rest of the Under-19 World Cup, and just cheer on the Aussies for us if you can.
Yeah, I will do, reluctantly.
Good man, Simon Dool over there in Trinidad, covering the Under-19 ICC World Cup. The